How many can remember when you were a kid? I'm thinking probably most every family did this. If they didn't, don't think that you're weird. But I'm thinking I can remember it even at our house. So if we did it, chances are it was at your house too. How many can ever remember where you went over to a wall and you stood straight against the wall? And then they would take a big pen. I'm not going to do it. And mark your height. Did that ever happen? I mean, and then they kept the mark there. And then next year, or for lots of us, it was next week you better, or the next day you better check me to see if I've grown taller. You stood there and you didn't slouch. You stood straight because you wanted to measure up. Man, can you imagine if you went in one week and got that line and you went in the next week and you were shorter? You want to measure up. You want to be, you don't want to go backwards. You always wanted to increase. Now, I realize that some growth bigger than others. This is it. John's a lot bigger. Dick's up there. But God made us all special. But God's intent in making us is that He wants us to measure up, to stand tall, and be what He wants us to be. As you look at the sermon insert, what does a Christian look like? Take your Bibles first before we ever make our way to Romans. We're going to take a little side trip to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, go to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now that's an interesting little verse. We look at it as that salt is absolutely worthless. Pitch it. But notice where they pitched it. There's a reason that they threw it out on the road. Now, it's not that they had snow and ice, but it served as traction. But that's all the good that you were. You're good for traction. That was it. Your usefulness is done. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Notice Jesus does not say here, pay attention, I am the light of the world. What Jesus says here is, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So you as a light, people should be able to see it. Notice it. It should be standing there catching attention. Verse 15, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. That gives us the impression that we're to be the light of the world, not just outside of our house, but inside our homes. We are representing Jesus Christ. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What does a Christian look like? They better be able to be seen and watched. Am I interpreting Scripture correctly? Jesus said it. A thought came at Bible study a few weeks ago. If you were at Bible study, as soon as I present this, you're going to remember it. And if you weren't at Bible study, ponder on this. Can you look at someone and determine if they are a Christian or not? To make the question an easy one, can you look at somebody and tell if they're a Christian? Now, the first thing that comes to our mind, maybe, is we should be able to. There may be something that enters your mind like, I'm not supposed to judge. people. So I don't have the privilege of looking at someone and saying, I think they're different. I think they're a Christian. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to make a judgment. If you're a Christian, your light should shine so that people go, you're a Christian. There shouldn't be a judgment call. Let's get away from make it more personal. Let's make it not, is that person a Christian or not? But let's make it real personal. Do people see Jesus in me? When someone's looking at me, am I the light of the world? When someone's looking at me, do they see Jesus? Do I measure up to what Jesus expects of me? I think maybe if we hesitate or if we avoid that question, that may bring in that there's just a little sliver of doubt of how we're doing. If we want to avoid the question altogether and say, I don't think that's for us to determine. But do people see Jesus in you? We have to consider that one. Do we measure up to what Jesus wants? I heard a statement over the past week, and it's funny how God does things, because after the sermon's done, I was listening to, if I'm in the field, I have that headset and I can get a few stations. So lots of times in the afternoon, especially afternoon, I'm not crazy about the morning shows on CRF. But in the afternoon, there's quite a few good shows on. And out of that afternoon, I heard this comparison. When a child is born in the world, we give them 18 years to become an adult. We give them 18 years of going through issues and trials and circumstance and conflict, and raising them up at 18 years old, we say, get out of the house. Now, that's maybe what my dad said, but when they get 18 years old, what our prayers change from, oh Lord, help them to make a good decision here, to, Lord, I pray that I have raised these kids according to your will, and that's what my desire is. I pray that that's their desire. And we start to change a little bit. And Lord, I pray that I've raised this kid up the way that you would do it. We give kids 18 years to become an adult. How long do we give Christians to mature to become an adult? I'm just curious, how many here feel in their Christian walk, pay attention, how many feel in their Christian walk, because you're all old, how many feel in your Christian walk like there's something that may be subpar in your life that needs to change? I'm telling you this. If you're living and breathing and you're a Christian, God's attempting to change something. My idea is that we become perfect when we become glorified. Until that time, there's some work that needs to take place. How do you measure up? What does a Christian look like? Even as mature Christians, there's areas in our lives that need to be addressed, and we continue to grow the whole time until the Lord takes us. There's always something that He's working on that we should be working on. So honestly, if we're sitting there going, look at me, I'm as close to heaven as you can get, maybe you want to take a better look. We're all working on something. God's always working in our hearts on something. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 reads this way. Write the verse down. You can check me later. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, which means in reality, God is telling Paul to write to Christians at the church in Corinth. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. You see, now it's on a personal level. It's not a matter of looking at someone else to determine if they're a Christian or not. It's, what am I like inside church and outside church? Am I the same inside church that I am outside of the church? Am I the same in the world as I am in the church? It says, test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you're of the faith, unless indeed you fail the test. Who's the one that determines if I measure up to what God expects of me? Who's the one? It's me. I have to check myself. I test myself. I examine myself to see if I measure up. I'm faithful in God. God's not going to tell me to fix something that can't be fixed. So his part's done. The only way that I can be changed is to be willing to be changed. If God says, I want you to look at this area in your life, and I'm going, I don't have that issue in my life, he can't change it. I'm not willing to have it changed. 2 Corinthians, in the same letter, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God is more than willing to make the changes that he needs in your life if you're willing to make the change. But you have to be willing. So then you go and you test yourself. You examine yourself to see, do I measure up? Am I what a Christian looks like? Still love me, right? Good, because you're supposed to. Romans chapter 12. Oh, Romans, we can't get away from Romans. Another 2 years and we'll be done with it in Bible study. Romans chapter 12 gives us what a Christian looks like. It tells us, if my plans are to measure up, when I test myself, when I examine myself, and I find I'm falling a little short, this is what a Christian looks like. Romans chapter 12, go to verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. As a Christian, I am to love everyone. Amen? Why? Because Jesus did. A Christian is defined as little Christs. If Jesus loved everyone, I too should love everyone. As Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, he was writing to the church. To believers. As Paul is writing the letter to the Romans, he's writing the letter to the church at Rome, where there are Christians. He's writing this letter to Christians. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Paul is talking about, at this point, he's talking about people in the church. Agree? Verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. Well, that looks like he's writing to the church. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is what a Christian looks like. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Do I measure up? Lord, I'm asking at this point that you would just give pure wisdom and insight. Lord, we're not looking at anybody else in this building. We're looking at ourselves. Lord, let your Spirit pinpoint any area that might be deficient in our lives. Any area that we're coming in a little bit short of what you're calling and expecting from us. Lord, let us just be honest today, not pointing any fingers, but just taking a good look at ourselves and saying, do I measure up? Lord, thank you. Amen. This is what a Christian is. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, Paul starts out with quite a bit here for any Christian. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. If he just left that verse there all by itself, that would be a handful to overcome in the world in which we live and the life that I am. That would be quite the task. But that's just one verse. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Is what he's saying is that we can really love people but be hypocritical? I mean, that to me looks like what Paul is saying. Hypocrisy. We know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite, according to Greek time, was an actor. He played a part. He played a part. It was not him. It was that he played a part. So a hypocrite is someone who plays a part. It's not them. It's something else. So a hypocrite to us is someone who says one thing and does something different. Love without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is claiming a moral standard, then living another way. Do we do that? Do we claim to be one thing and then live a different way? Examine yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you measure up. Love without hypocrisy. I think what Paul is really addressing here is fake love. Or, I'm telling you I love you. Love ya. And in reality, what we're saying is, hi, how you doing? It's a fake kind of love. Love without hypocrisy. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And go to verse 37. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Praise God. We got that part. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That type of love seems to be an all-out type of love. I love you, regardless of who you are or what you're representing or how mean you are to me. I love you. Now, we're willing to give our total love to God, but I wonder why Jesus brought in this second one. Because if I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, it should be automatic that I love everyone. But then Jesus has to bring it out and say it. Love without hypocrisy. I love you because I love you. Doesn't matter your looks or what you do or what you have done to me. It doesn't matter what you represent. I love you. That's what a Christian looks like, is I love you. Abhor what is evil. Simply that means regard with disgust. I despise. Evil is so disgusting to me. But yet there's evil in our workplace, in our leisure, evil's in our home. It says, abhor what is evil. So any evil should disgust me. And I shouldn't put up with any of it. I need to get away from all of it. Has anyone watched television lately? What about a computer? Your phone? Is God happy with what you're watching? Is God happy with what you're involved with? We're to abhor what is evil, because that's what a Christian looks like. Then he turns it around and he says, get rid of the evil, but cling to what is good. Go after that part. Despite everything that is thrown at you in this world today, some of it looks awful fun and awful appealing. But then we get this little thing in our gut that says, this isn't good. Welcome to the Holy Spirit. And at that point, we need to remove ourselves. We need to cling to what is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. So everything that comes to me, I am required to examine it to see if it matches up with God. Everything. Because that's what a Christian looks like. Verse 9 is a task all by itself. But Paul continues. Look at verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. As I read that verse, that tells me two things. I am to love everybody. But specifically, and make sure that I do this, is that I am to love everyone in the church more. Let me read it again, make sure I'm not off. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. It sounds like I'm to love everybody, but I should love you all more. Amen? I'm to love you more. Why? Do you love your neighbor more or your brother? Well, I grew up with my brother. I have to love him. Yeah, it's a family connection here. Paul is saying, pay attention to the people in the church. They're family. Hold them in honor. Love them big, big love. Love everybody else, but these guys are right in front of you. Love them. Let them know you love them. Now, Paul tells us in this chapter in verse 5, Romans 12, verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. That tells me that's family. He's talking about the church. So I love everybody, but I love you all more, because that's what a Christian looks like, is I love you. I love you more because we're family. Verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I was looking at that this morning and I'm going, wait a minute, that verse 11 is nothing but action on my part. Look at it. It's all my part, and it's action required by me. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That means what a Christian looks like is someone who is working very diligently for the Lord. You're actually going at it. You're busy for the Lord. That's what it says. Don't slough off, but you're to be active. Go to it. You're a Christian. Go to it. It's all action on our part. It's not okay to be just okay. There's enough mediocre Christians around. It's not okay just to be okay with the Lord. If you're just okay with the Lord, that means that you're not too far from not being just okay. What Paul is saying here is be diligent. Be fervent in the Spirit and serve the Lord. Go after it. It's not okay just to be okay. Go after it. It's your part. It's what you're supposed to be doing. Serve the Lord with all you got. Years and years ago, wasn't this church? There was something said that just made my skin crawl. I don't know how to say it other than just turn my stomach. It was an older person in the church, and her remark was, "Let someone else do it. I've done my time." Well, then you might as well die. You might as well get out of here. What you're saying is, Lord, I'm done with action for you. Let somebody else do it. Now, just take a poll. How many feel old? We're getting up there. The youth group in this church is somewhere around 60. When is it that you get to stop serving the Lord? Now think about it. Think about it. When is it that you get to stop serving the Lord? I guess you never, ever stop serving Him, because if you think that you do, heaven's going to be a surprise for you. I forget, where did it come from of a street sweeper or something in heaven, but just give me something to do. Oh, Patty, it was windows. Just let me wash windows. I'll do it for the Lord, and I'm going to rejoice and be happy. Let me do it for all eternity. Matter of fact, with Jonah living beside me, I'm going to do his windows too. Look at what Paul is saying. Is he says, go after it. If you stop going after it, you're of no use here. Go after it with all you got, all the time. If you're willing to say, I can't do that, well, would you consider doing it? No, I can't do that. And worse yet is I won't do that. If we get to that point, we better really examine ourselves. Because what Paul is saying is serve the Lord, because that's what a Christian does. That's what a Christian looks like. Real quick, since we're close, turn over one page. You're now at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. You all know the verse I'm going to, because I'm starting to believe this verse. It's taken some time, but I'm getting there. I'm still maturing yet. Look at verse 28. It's got to be there somewhere. Yeah, there it is. Romans 8, 28. First of all, you all believe the Bible, right? Whatever God says in the Bible has to be the way it is, right? If there's a, I don't believe that, it's not God's fault. God's working on you because it's your fault. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him. Love God. How many love God? So far, you're not exempt from this verse, correct? Since you love God, all things that you do are good. Okay? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That means each and everything that you do, since you love God, is going to move in a positive way the purpose of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who are love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Look at it this way. Paul says in chapter 12, we're to serve God. Don't lag. Don't be apathetic. Be fervent in the Spirit and serve God. Go with it with all you got left. Now that may diminish over a few years, but right now you're still breathing. So you got something that you can do for the Lord. And if you do it for the Lord, and since you love God, is it going to turn out for good? Just be honest. Yes. Why? I don't know. It's nothing on my part. I think I really messed it up. Well, do you trust God? Because what He said is, I'll make it work. So don't say you can't or you won't. Just say, I'll do it, and let God be praised. I'm just going to be honest with you. There should not be one open position in the church. Now, the church has been here 25 years. You've only had two guys, both awesome. There should, I'm thinking this way. Over 25 years, you would think that's what the positions and all the stuff that's required to keep this church going over 25 years is pretty much set in stone. Now, there's some new stuff coming, and that's great. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We shouldn't have trouble filling any position in this church. None. Because that's what Christians do. Are you going to take a position and totally mess it up? Yes. Why? You're human. But do you have faith? Do you believe that whatever you do, God can turn for good because you love Him? There shouldn't be an open position in the church. We shouldn't have to plead for people because that's what a Christian looks like. Verse 12. I'm in trouble now. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. If you love God, there is a hope that you have that most people do not have. Your hope is not a wish. Your hope is a person. I am confident in this person. His name is Jesus. My hope is not a wish, it's confidence. Pure confidence that someday, because of Him, we will be together. That's my hope. That's every Christian's hope. It should be every Christian's hope. It should be every Christian's hope is, I'm ready to go now. And I'm not just ready to go now. I want to go now. I'm ready. I want it. Lord, let it be today. Now, please remember that you have responsibilities as a Christian. So until He comes to get you, you can rest in that glorious hope, but you got stuff to do because other people need that hope. A Christian stays strong in the tough times. I don't have to ask a show of hands. Everyone here has gone through times of tribulation, times of trial. You have gone through some very difficult times. Everyone here has gone through those times. It may not be the same exact tribulation, but if you're living here, you're going through something. And God says, I got this. Just stay with it. I'm going to get you through this. I overcome, and you can overcome with me. So stay strong in times of tribulation. And then it says, be devoted to prayer. Simple question, and I'll move on. How many, when you examine yourself and test yourself, as 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, you come up and you go, I pray enough. There's no hands in the air. Are you telling me none of you pray enough? Me either. Matter of fact, pastors are really bad. Studies have shown pastors pray 5 minutes a day. Everyone comes up short in praying. So there's at least one thing that we all have to work on, because that's what a Christian looks like, is more time with God. Now, please don't close your eyes as you're driving a car, but you can pray with your eyes open. But it should be our heart in communication with God. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. Let's change that. Contributing to the needs of you all, practicing hospitality. Now, there are some people, you realize one of the gifts is the gift of hospitality. By the way, it doesn't say that that is a spiritual gift. It is a gift that is given, and some people got it. Most of them are ladies. They get you in the home, take your shoes off, let your feet stink, put them up on the recline. It's a make you feel right at home. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing. How do we make people feel when they come in here? I hope it's welcome. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Now, if you're a born-again believer, you are a saint. We get the wrong understandings of sometimes of you don't become a saint until you get into heaven. No, you're considered a saint now. Contributing to the needs of the saints. If saints is in heaven, what needs do you have there? None. So the saints has to be here. contributing to the needs of saints. That means that we are supposed to help each other. Be hospitable. Be kind. Love each other. That's what we're supposed to be. Do we help each other here? We can always do better. But I've watched the church. You're doing okay. We're doing okay. But remember, okay is not always good enough. We could all do better. This means that we are to give for the ones in the church who are in need. Well, we got all sorts of money that we give them. Yeah, well, that may be that much. But the church people need an awful lot more than that. But if we're standing in the need of someone to give to us, we are also standing in a position of being able to help others. You see, this is not a gimme, gimme, gimme proposition. This is contribute to this need, to the needs of the saints, which means at times I may need from you. And there's probably times that you need from me. It's give and give, and then you're giving. That's how the church is supposed to be. You don't just give and then say, well, I'm never going to need. I think guys are good at that. Well, I give, but I never need nothing. Men really need a lot of help. We've been raised in a position that I am the problem solver, I am the provider, and I'll fix this. And lots of times, we can't fix it, and we got nobody to lean against, and no one to bounce anything off of, and then we struggle. Women may do a little better, but you just can't receive all the time either. It's a give and it's a take. At times you're going to be receiving, and at times we're to be giving. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I thought about this verse today, and I'm going, I don't curse. You're going to find this hard to believe, but there are some Christians who don't care too much for other Christians. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they carry themselves. They're a Christian, but I'm not really drawn to them. Bless those who persecute you. Are you telling me that there are Christians who make my life miserable? Yeah. Are there Christians who make your life miserable? Remember, you're looking at me. I'm just going to give you this verse. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. So we all should be looking at ourselves. Bless those who persecute you. That's telling me that I not only just let it go, but I really let it go. When there's a Christian that's not so nice to me, I got to let it go. Bless and do not curse. Well, that's really a weird verse for Paul to throw in there. There's people who say, Scripture says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And I don't. I never do. But then there's people, those same people will say what we consider to be curse words. When that happens, they say, I never take the Lord's name in vain. Do you know that? And I'm going, that come out of the same mouth? So be real careful of what you say. As I'm looking at that verse, that's not what that verse is talking about. Look at the verse. Bless those who persecute you. Because usually when someone persecutes me, I am ticked. I don't love you right now. I don't like the way you look. And I'm just praying that you have a flat tire on your way home. You know what you have just done. You have cursed them. That's what that verse means. Bless those who persecute you. Bless the ones who give you a tough time. Be kind to them. Pray for them. And don't say, I hope you have a flat tire. That'll serve you right. No, you bless them. Because that's what a Christian looks like. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because in the church you have both. In you, you have both. You have times of rejoicing, times of weeping. We need someone alongside of us. Now, the Holy Spirit's there. That's fantastic. But you need brothers and sisters. It is good to have someone there with you. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. That means that no matter what comes at you, you're better off because there's at least a couple of you involved in it. We got to be with each other. Through the happy times, through the sad times. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. This verse may not fit anyone here, but examine yourselves, test yourselves to see if there may be a little bit left. I'm already in deep in this sermon, so deeper it is. Christians love each other, and we should really, 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 really love each other. But please understand, you are not God's gift to mankind. Jesus Christ was. That should put things in perspective in regards to our, what was the comment about the pastors and how awesome we are? This fits that. You got to be real careful. I pray that you know I was horsing around and joking. It's a funny verse. Be of the same mind. That means we all should be thinking alike. In regards to each other, do not be haughty. Do not lift yourself up higher. Because I can tell you, if you lift yourself up too high, there's only one direction that you're going to go. But associate with the lowly. Now, I don't think this is taking a stab at people. Because my Jesus was born in a lowly stable. You're not going to think lowly of someone if you have the same mind. Because that's what a Christian looks like. Let's clump. 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Let's stop there. That clumps them all. The rest of them that's there, that clumps them. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Christians are not allowed to get even. When someone hurts you, you're not allowed to get even because Christians don't do that. Instead, what are you supposed to do? Bless them. Don't curse them. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Look at verse 18, which is a really interesting verse. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. When someone hurts you, our first flesh, our carnality says, your day's coming. But my spirit says, no, it's not. Look at verse 18. It's a funny one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's an interesting verse. If possible, peace depends upon you. It depends upon you. Peace in this situation is going to be how you determine it. If it's possible, well, if it depends on you, it has to be possible. Verse 21, and we'll finish. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Is this what I look like? If this is what a Christian looks like, do I measure up? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Are you the light in your world? Wherever you go, whatever you do, are you the light of Jesus Christ? Now that's not in certain circumstances. That's in every single situation. For every single thing that I do, every single day, does it please the Lord? Am I being the light of Jesus Christ right now? See, examine yourselves. That's tough. Because I know there's areas, boy, I got a lot of them. We probably all got at least one or two. And when that time comes, when we're ready to, I'm going to get even, or I don't love you right now, we have to ask ourselves, is this being the light of Christ? I pray this week that when that circumstance comes up, that we're ready to do something that a Christian wouldn't do. I pray that thought comes into our minds. Would a Christian do this? How would a Christian act right now? And if someone was looking at me, would they think that I'm a Christian? Because people watch. And I understand that this needs to be addressed. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.